Lord, we don't know what lays before us today, but we commit it all to you. Please give us strength and courage to get through the joys, challenges, and happenings of the day. We thank you for our lives and for all that we have. We commit this day to you. No matter what happens, we know you have us in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Panic. Last week, the gospel was all about the baby Jesus being presented in the temple. That's fine, but I worked for a long time on this gospel that has the adult Jesus preaching the Beatitudes for my homily this morning. 1 week is hardly enough to let this guy grow from a baby to a 30-year-old. But Father Bruce assured me that my selection was correct, so to all I can say about the last week is, my, how time flies. Imagine the disciples have been following the adult Jesus around for some time. Now it's hot, and you're tired and hungry. Where is that kid with the loaves and fishes? Jesus leads you up this big hill on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. He finally sits down because that's the way rabbis were accustomed to teaching. He's an itinerant preacher, on the move, always. Wherever people are in need of the Word of God, he's there. Jesus wants you to know that with your faults, and we all have them, don't we? You are very special people. He starts out by telling you how blessed you are with a comforting, distinctive commentaries we call the Beatitudes. They are so beautiful and give you such relief from your shortcomings that you begin to feel so much better about yourself and where you're going. Now the crowds assemble, but that doesn't curtail Jesus. No, he continues on by calling everyone there the salt of the earth. Now salt was very special and expensive in those days, and it was used as a preservative. No refrigeration, so they used salt from the Dead Sea, and it was full of impurities. Kind of like us. We need to remind ourselves that all men and women have enough sorrow and suffering in life to elicit our empathy, not our hostility. Most of us have figured out that establishing and maintaining a relationship involves a lot of our time, something that seems to be more and more in constant short supply these days. Most of us have come to realize that to live a fulfilling and less stressful life, we must constantly be aware of the need to balance our personal relations with our work, home, and spiritual time. Hopefully, all of the time spent on all of this emerging technology like Twitter and others won't be mistaken for quality time needed for the kind of fulfilling relationships that most of us need to keep a healthy and joy-filled life. So he calls us the salt of the earth. As I looked up salts on Google, I found 11 major types, from regular table salt to truffle salt. Jan Scarpati had a great program on salt, and it covered this part of the gospel better than I possibly could. You are the salt of the earth, sets the listeners apart from other people like the scribes, Pharisees, and so on. It's the plural you, which really describes the church. He doesn't say you will be the salt of the earth or you can be the salt of the earth. No, he states the present tense. Salt is of no use sitting in a shaker, is it? We can turn out to be not much use by sitting in our homes, glued to TV or other technical devices. Salt is a perfect metaphor for the people of God, you and me. Then he goes on to say that we are the light of the world. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, a light shows the way, doesn't it, among other uses. Is he telling us that he wants us to show others the right way, the way to salvation? What is our light? Is it some big light bulb over our heads like it's shown in the funnies? He says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When we hear that, what is our reaction? Do we reach for the collection plate? Or do we think about how we can show others by our good examples to be better people? Does it make us want to go out of here and tell the first person we connect with how good we are? And don't they want to be just like us? I don't think that's what was the meaning. We can be great examples of what we hear and do in the surrounding. We can be a light to help people to have what we have. We can be good examples of service to others. We can be better people. Then he says, don't think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. Well, we know that the law in those days were the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures. They're called the Torah. We know that the prophets were special people who could deliver God's words of grace and judgment. But what does that statement about the law and the prophets from Jesus mean? Well, most of the people were Jewish, and the law was the law. It was observed, but not with any spirit. They merely obeyed, not reasoning why. If they didn't obey, they were in trouble. Jesus arrived to bring out the real meaning of the law, the one that had its roots in love for God and love for neighbor. Have you ever gone shelling? Rising at daybreak assures the best shelling and also the best seat in the house for greeting the gift of another day of God's creation. The very best shelling occurs at sunrise after one of nature's storms passes by. Our first inclination in shelling is to go for the perfect ones and disregard those that are broken and disfigured. But close examination reveals that even the perfect ones are still somewhat imperfect in shape and color, but each one is still unique. Once you've tired of collecting the perfect ones, you begin to see the hidden beauty of the scattered and broken shells. These begin to take on an importance of their own, and that's when you transition to a search for the most interesting one-of-a-kind shell. These have the physical changes acquired from time and experience, and have been tossed and turned by the crashing waves and storms of life. Christians believers have the promise of eternal life after braving the pain of life's tossing storms and the resurrection sunrise, which brings such heavenly treasures as forgiven, perfect, unbroken bodies and souls, and the joyous reunion of all those loved or perhaps never met on our spiritual journey through creation. Jesus recognized we all live in a broken world, broken lives, broken dreams, broken homes, broken relationships. During the Last Supper, he broke bread and instructed us to eat it as symbols of his body. He sacrificed his life so that we will have eternal life. He taught us to help and comfort those spirits and bodies that have been broken by life's crashing waves and storms, and recognize the beauty that resides in all of us. Think back how he comforted us who are poor, who mourn, who are gentle and merciful, who are persecuted, and on in that beautiful time he spent with us on the mountain. You all are so beautiful. You all are so special. Thanks be to God for each one of you. Like the shells on the beach, we are all different, but all unique. Isn't that awesome? We are a doing people. We always want to be doing something. Once in a while, someone will say, well, don't just stand there, do something. I think Jesus is crying out, shouting to us, saying, Don't just do something, stand there. Enter into a love relationship with me. Get to know me. Adjust your life to me. Let me love you and reveal myself to you as I work through you. A time will come when the doing will be called for, but we cannot skip the relationship. The relationship with Jesus must come first. There's an infinite amount of knowledge and wisdom to be grasped in this life, and no one has the time to personally experience it all. But we all have the ability to benefit from each other's experiences and stories if only we are willing to share and willing to learn. Learning is a journey, not a destination. We all know there are some things that we're not wired to comprehend, will remain a mystery, and require that infamous leap of faith to believe. But the images seem to flow gracefully together and hopefully can help us to find our way. Yes, there are many negative life forces around us, but also so many positive ones, like those unique shells we find. We have the free will and attitude to look for all of them. We can see the goodness others exhibit all around us, or we can see the terrible consequences of man's inhumanity to man. We can see all the natural disasters and sufferings that seem to be occurring. Or we can see all the acts of courage and compassion that teams of working angels bring to us. I saw a homeless man once on a corner who had a handmade sign by his feet as he sat under an overpass in Houston. It said, "I'm not a bad guy, but I will be honest, I've made a lot of bad decisions." I appreciated his candor. At least he wasn't cursing the world in general and blaming everyone but himself for his present life. Every day, in every way, we face endless decisions and paths on our journey that'll allow us to turn right or left, choose good or not so good. At least this guy seemed to be honest with himself. He seemed to be aware that his current situation on the streets was due to choosing some wrong forks in the road. He admitted his imperfections. And we thank Jesus for his presence, his protection, power, and his promises. And repent those free will decisions that don't end well. He isn't looking for a relationship with a gaggle of bobbleheads, but one in which we human beings, who have the free will to choose our paths, it's so easy to love and join the crowd, the lovable, those perfect shells. It's a much different ballgame to love the unlovable, the broken. It takes us way out of our comfort zone. Words can hurt as much as physical actions. Words of comfort and concern and care, like the Beatitudes, can bring healing into a person's life as effectively as medications. And doing good is like casting a stone into the pond and watching the rippling water come back to us. The Beatitudes are statements of utmost bliss. Read them again. Think about them. Relax into them. And appreciate the uniqueness in each one of us. I'd like to close by reading something from an Irish poet by the name of Padraig O'Tuama that I recently heard. This had a very profound meaning on to me and I hope to you too. Aureus. In Latin means, let's pray. So let's pick up the stones over which we stumble and build altars. Let us listen to the sound of the breath in our bodies. Let us listen to the sound of our own voices, of our own names, of our own fears. Let's claw ourselves out of the graves we've dug. Let's lick the earth from our fingers. Let's look up and out and around. The world is big and wide and wild and wonderful and wicked, and our lives are murky, magnificent, malleable, and full of meaning. Amen.